So we are, of course, looking at the Epistle of James. Now, as Keith said last Tuesday evening, the Epistle of James has been called the New Testament Book of Proverbs. And indeed, as you go through James, you will find that there are statements made in the letter of James that you will see comparisons and parallels in the Book of Proverbs. James, writing here, was probably, if not the earliest writing letter, it certainly was among them. But it is generally accepted that James wrote this letter, and it was the first letter that was ever written to the church. And, of course, he's writing it to the 12 tribes who are scattered abroad. Now, the one thing about James is that, you know, I guess I would put my heading tonight as being faith in action. The Word of God says that faith without works is dead. Some translate that as being faith without works is useless. And some, of course, say that faith and works, that James is saying that by works you're saved. That is not true. What James is saying through his epistle is that the works are the outcome of the exercise of faith in our lives. And he's also stating that if there are no works, perhaps there is no faith. Or the faith is very shallow and it's not producing works. Now, works don't necessarily have to mean that you're visiting a senior in the assembly, or you're picking up groceries to help someone, or something physical. Works are also talked about as being fruit. And we're going to look at that aspect of it tonight as well. So this is what I call the heading tonight, faith in action. You know, when we look at the word faith, it is an exercise. It is a verb. It is something that you actually do. When we say we have faith in God, it means that we are placing our trust and we're placing our confidence in our God, our Heavenly Father. Now, faith comes about by learning about the one that you're placing the faith in. And so we'll look at that tonight too, because that's going to be very key. And it should be very key to every day and each day of our living. Because we must remember that no matter what we do day by day, whether we work for a boss in a secular world or whatever we do it as if to the Lord. As believers, that's the way that we are expected to conduct ourselves. You know, when I was reading through James again, it's a very practical epistle. I kind of nicknamed him Action Man, because that's what he is. He's a man who is trying to fan the flames of action on the behalf of these Jewish believers. And probably this epistle wasn't just for the 12 tribes. It probably was circulated and became available to those who were non-Jewish believers. So we're going to read a few verses, and I'm going to make a couple of comparisons tonight, actually to the book of Proverbs. So we're going to read a few verses tonight, first of all, in James chapter 1. We're going to take it up at verse 19 again, just to get the connection. And it said, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. That word overflow is actually translated as abundance. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and abundance of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing himself, his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, that's the one who looks into the word of God and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you think he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and not defiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Now, we're going to take time just to look briefly back in Proverbs. And we're going to look at chapter 1, because tonight they was intimated this was going to be a discussion about receiving, hearing and receiving. So here we are in Proverbs chapter 1, and when we look at chapter 1, this is Solomon talking to his son. In verse 8, he says, "My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck." Then we get to chapter 2, and here is Solomon again talking to his son, but this time he says, first of all, he was saying to his son, "My son, hear my instruction." Chapter 2, it says, "My son, if you receive my instructions." So it's hearing and receiving. I was reading today about the fact when God created man, how that God created man with two ears and one mouth. Basically, he said that's because God wants us to hear more than he wants us to speak. You know that old saying, "Look before you leap." This is what the Word of God teaches us. In the Word of God, as we look into it, we are looking into the Word and being instructed before we open our mouths. The tongue is a very dangerous little thing in our head. It can either speak blessing or cursing. It can elevate someone in speech to feel really good, or it can destroy someone with the words that come out from the mouth. So tonight we'll look at hearing the word of God. Now, Romans 10 tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We read just in Proverbs there that Solomon speaking to his son says, "My son, hear my instruction." And then in James we get, "Let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak." Now, when we sit in an assembly service and we're listening to the speaker, we obviously hear what he is saying. But in truth, are we really hearing what he's saying? You know, you can actually hear words, but not hear them. This is something that we are instructed and exhorted in Scripture, that when God speaks to us, we open our ears to hear. And when we hear God speak to us, it can and does and should and ought to change our lives. When you're too quick to speak, sometimes we can cause problems. You know, the best thing is that when you want to have a discussion with someone, it is best to keep your mouth closed, your ears open, to listen to what that person has to say. Absorb what that person has to say. And then if you have something to say about it, you're at least a little more intelligent because you've listened to what they've been saying. And when we come to the Bible, you know, it would be like, I guess, when my son would come up to me and give me a gift from my birthday. And it was a nice wrapped gift. And I take it and I thank him very much for it. And I put it on the table. I don't open it. I've started to offend him. I know that just because I did that. He wants me to open it. So I take the gift, I unwrap it, I take it, open up the box, and I look at the gift, and then I can appreciate what that gift is. You know, when we look at our Bibles is the Word of God. We should never forget that. This is not just a book of words. It's not just a book of academics. It's not just a book of history. It is the Word of God. And James is talking about to receive the implanted word. Embedded is another word for it. This is something that you take in and it becomes a part of you. The Word of God is not an academic exercise. It is not a matter of reading it to put together pieces of history. We know that's what it is. But reading the Word of God in the presence of God is instructions for our growth. You know, how can we grow spiritually if we don't feed our spiritual being, our new man? You know, when you think about it, you can hear of men and women who can quote scripture verbatim from memory. They have taken the Word of God and we implant it into our very being. It becomes a part of us. I trust in knowing and the hearing of my voice has their Bible gathering dust in the bookshelf. Sitting on the coffee table gathering dust either. Personally, I keep a Bible on my coffee table. I keep one in my bedside table. I keep one in my car. I have learned in the latter years of my life to really love the Word of God. I know that if I have any hope of fulfilling the desire to really live and walk a Christian life, the Word of God is the food that I'm going to absorb, that is going to feed me and nourish me along that journey. You know, how do we expect to grow spiritually if we don't eat the food that is in the Word of God? When I sit down and read the Word of God, I read it like as if it's food to my soul. And that's what it is. It's food. It's food. A brother asked me once, when you read, I could speed read like the next person. The one book that I don't speed read through is the Bible. I take my time because it's very important as you're going through the Word of God, taking your time and allowing time for the Lord to speak to you from it. You know, when I go through certain books, like I'm going through the epistles right now. When I'm reading through a certain epistle and I come across certain phrases or a certain portion, and it catches my interest, real interest, I stop right there. And I start to investigate what God has to say me from that passage. And that is the way that we should read the Word of God, like it becomes a part of us. God has given us that wonderful gift. You know, when Solomon spoke to his son about receiving his instructions, I noted down a few things that he said. My son, in chapter 2, if you receive my instructions, and then he says, if you treasure my instructions. How do we treasure the Word of God? This Bible is priceless to the believer, to the Christian. So how do we treasure it? Do we incline our ear to hear what God has to say to us? Does God actually physically speak to us? No, but he does speak to us if we take time to listen as we read through his word. Then he says to son, if you apply it, and then really, if you cry out, and if you lift up your voice, and if you seek her and you search for her, you know, that's the attitude that we need as we walk through life. And that's what James is talking about here. James is saying, it's okay for you to say, yeah, I've got faith. Well, is that right? Tell me what. Prove it to me by your works. Now, when he says that, does that mean you make a list of what you want to do? Okay, tomorrow I'm going to visit Dave Black. He's not feeling well. Tomorrow I'm good. The next day it's so and so. No, that's not what it means. You know, it means that we need to apply ourselves and allow it to work in us and through us. And the outcome of that is going to be wonderful. You are going to live, and I'm going to live a very blessed life. You know, I used to visit our late brother, Arnold Spears, a lot, especially in the last few years of his life. And I said to him one day, I said, Arnold, I don't know about you, but I'm walking out of your apartment today, and I've had a real blessing. That's what God wants for our lives. That's what doing the good works does if you're exercising them by faith. Good works are the result of living a life of faith in the presence of God. And deep desire should be in the Word that we as believers should get to know God better, closer, more intimately. I mean, as I said to Brother Ray, how can we speak about God if we don't really know him? How can I speak about God to someone else if in my Christian living, I don't really know him in the kind of essence of his being, his character, his glory? You know, we've got to know about him before we can speak about him to others. And James is basically trying to get that through to us. You know, works are not just doing physical things. People think about works as that. It goes beyond that. And you've got to realize that we, as Christians, before we can actually walk out and do these works or be part of it, we need to have a certain condition before God. God can't use a filthy vessel. He can't use a Christian who's got one foot in the world, one foot in Christianity. You know, if you're in the world, you're not of God. If you're in the world, you're an enemy of God. It was the world that crucified his son. So there comes a point in our lives that we need to come consciously that we are to be separate from the world, although we are in the world. We should be separate from the world system. We should be praying and reading and studying and allowing the Word of God to wash through us and become a part of us, that we will have the weapon, we will have the tool that we can resist that temptation. And when I read the Bible, my prayer always is, and it should be every one of us that pray this way too, Lord, as I read your word, open my eyes and open my ears that I may hear you speak to me. That's all. That's a simple prayer. But that's what the purpose of reading the word of God is, that we will have our eyes open to behold the wondrous truths that are contained in, that we will have our ears open, that we will be taking time to listen to him speak to us from it. And when you think about it, studying the Word of God, it is not to achieve a great academic prowess in understanding it, although that's wonderful. It is not to be able to say that, well, I know this and I know that. First of all, the Word of God is meant for the individual believer. And only as God speaks to us through his word are we able to talk to others about his word. That's the way it works. And when I think about it, how do we listen for God? You know, we're in a very busy, busy world, eh? Right now, the pandemic has slowed us down a little bit. But normally, you know, I remember a man said to me once, he says, John, how do you enjoy the fast living? I says, fast living? I says, I've never made it to the expressway. I says, I'm in the feeder lanes. And that's where the believer should be. We should be in a slow lane. Sitting back. You know, when you're in college or university, the one thing you have to do is when you're attending lectures and after the lectures are over, you have to sit back and you have to reflect on what you've heard and what you're reading. The Word of God is the same way. There is no point in reading the Word of God if we don't take time to sit and reflect upon what we are reading. I mean, I've seen me stumped at a passage, and rather than just skip over it, you know what I do? I read it, and I reread it, and I reread it. I look at some cross-references until at least I get a bit of an understanding of it. That's what God wants for us. He wants us to read the Word. He wants us to get an understanding of it. He wants us to investigate it. He wants us to see what the Word of God is saying to us. Because make no mistake, the Word of God is speaking to every one of us as individuals. I can't speak for another brother how God speaks to him, or a sister. I can only speak how God speaks to me. And we have to take time to think about what we are actually reading, sitting back, meditating, reflecting. That is not only important, it is essential for us to have an understanding of the Word of God. Now, in finishing, we look at the last verse of the chapter 1, and James writes, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans, widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. I would guess in those days of the early church, especially when these 12 tribes were scattered, a lot of their perhaps personal belongings or whatever was left behind. And they had very little. And I'm sure there was quite a bit of poverty in the early church. So it became very essential for members, for fellow believers, to look at orphans and widows to make sure that they were looked after and cared for. But James didn't stop there. He brings us to another point. He says, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. And you know, when you look at that, I think it's Galatians chapter 5, you read about the fruit of the Spirit. And basically, that's good works. You know, you look at the story of the vine. When Jesus said in chapter 15 of John, he says, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. And the branches are going to bear what? They're going to bear fruit. No, they're going to bear also more fruit. And they're also going to bear much fruit. And this is what God looks for us in our lives. You know, in Galatians, I believe it's 22, verse 5, chapter 5, verse 22, it says, up to that point from 16 through to 22, he's talking about the evilness of the flesh. He's talking about the works of the flesh. He's talking about idolatry, sorcery, hatred, etc. And then he comes to 23, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Good works are not just physical things that we do, but by reading the Word of God, absorbing it into our lives, because that's what we should do, we ought to do, and by the aid of the Spirit we can do, we will produce this fruit. That's a, pardon the word natural, but that's a natural outcome of a Christian walking before God. He or she will produce fruit for God's glory. It's for no other purpose. It's not for self advancement. It's for God's glory that we bear this fruit. And we bear the fruit that our lives are being transformed. And believe it or not, other people will recognize that. They will recognize that we don't curse and swear. We don't drink like drunken seamen. We don't do a lot of things. It's not because that we don't want to not do them. It's because we are being transformed by the word applied by the Spirit of God. And the result of that is that we walk in newness of life, producing fruit in our spiritual walk to the glory and honor of Almighty God. And that is why we are called. We are called to be his servants and to glorify him. And one day the Lord is coming back. I look forward to that day. It could be tonight. It could be tomorrow. What condition are we in spiritually if it would come in the morning? And that's the challenge that we have to face. Where do I stand in my Christian walk right now? If Jesus Christ was to call us home tonight, what kind of life have I led for God's glory? And that's when he's talking about in the end of that James 1, when he says that We have to be unspotted in the world. May God bless us. And thanks for listening.